Hi everyone, it's PaisaPrint Author here, and today I would like to apologise for missing the last podcast slot. I've been writing a new book and I've got so carried away with it. It's called Hologram Kebab. It's sort of like a smaller, more manageable version of Who Built the Humans, and by that I mean the average person, the kind of person who definitely isn't actually listening to this, will probably enjoy it more than Who Built the Humans, because it's just easier to read. I mean, the stories are smaller, there's less of them. You know, I've been speaking to other authors recently, and I've basically been made aware of, you know, how to go mainstream. And I think whilst I'm never going to do it, like, intentionally, I think I've came across a short story collection here that's, I've reached a point where I think I might want to add more to it, but I think it's actually better as a product if it's shorter and cheaper. Whereas Who Built the Humans is like a whole novel made out of 11 short stories, each of which are quite massive. One of the short stories, one of the chapters inside one of the short stories is 10,000 words long. So Who Built the Humans is a big book. This one's a third of the length, if not less. And it's just short stories that I wrote at university and short stories that I've wrote more recently, and then some science fiction stories that continue on from some of the bits from Who Built the Humans, and some stuff that ties into future books that I'm not going to confuse you with right now. But this one's called Boot, and I've recently added a twist ending to it. And it was basically, I wrote it a few years ago, and it was in response to a short story I'd read at university that annoyed me so much, I felt the need to satirize it. So I went home and I just did that instead of speaking to my friends. Which, to be honest, I don't regret, because it's turned out to be an okay story now. But I'd really like your opinion on it. So that's what this podcast is going to be about. It was early afternoon, and already some cars were leaving, dredging deep troughs in the muddy field which children used as canyons as they played. The midday sun had started its slow descent, and rusted football goals framed indecipherable graffiti about someone's sex life on a far concrete wall. A little old lady pottered about between the remaining cars, gravitating to that corner of the field which contained those few sellers who had arrived early and who would be leaving late. These people were serious about making money, but sometimes one or two just wanted to get rid of something that they didn't quite understand the value of. The old lady had gotten many treasures by seeking these people out. They were often entire families, or lonely, recent divorcees, and nothing in between. Both groups had piles of treasure to get rid of, and little patience for trying to keep up a high profit. They just wanted to get it gone and leave. They were the perfect people to target for a deal. The little old lady shuffled her way between two tables and introduced herself to a young mother, picking up a child's toy and watching the reaction of the child behind the table. They had no attachment to it, so the old lady was happy to continue browsing. But there was nothing worth having, nothing she liked. She moved to a man's table and pored through his old electronics and record collection. The name of an ex-girlfriend from 2 decades ago was barely scribbled out on one Ultravox record, and here and there a David Bowie had his hair coloured in with what looked like a highlighter. The old lady shook her head subtly, mourning the lost value. Finally, she encountered a young woman with a reptilian grin and unsoothing eyes. The woman smirked and welcomed the old lady, pointing her toward rare porcelain dolls and old vases on the table. The little old lady checked over each vase individually. "Lovely pattern, isn't it just? And the gilding is very well done, considering." "Considering what?" the young woman asked. "Well," the old lady said cunningly, "the enamel's a bit off. Here, you see, down the edge it seems to have been bashed about a bit." "Well, shit happens," the young woman said. "Excuse me?" "I mean, stuff happens, bad stuff, to vases, not to people." The old lady agreed by mumbling something incomprehensible. She then turned her attention to a pile of Star Wars, Doctor Who and Star Trek toys contained within an old sports hold-all. "Do you have any of the spaceships?" "No, no. My little brother kept them when he moved out." "Oh," the old lady said. She turned instead to the dolls, but quickly lost interest in the ones on the table, as something in the car boot had caught her attention instead. You've not put them all out, the old lady said. Yes, I have. No, there's one there in the boot. No, there isn't. There is. I can see its leg and a shoe. The young woman had changed her tone now. She lifted a vase off the table and got in the way of the little old lady. It's not for sale, she said forcibly. It's a kid, isn't it? The old lady asked. Her voice was tinted with indifference. But why would you say that? The young lady asked in return. Well, dearie, because I've been to enough sinister car boot sales to know. Why would you put a dead kid in your boot, then go to a car boot sale? That's what I've never understood. But year in, year out, some idiot brings their murdered demon nephew along with them. What are you saying? The young woman demanded. She was crying now, and had almost dropped the vase in shock from what the little old lady was saying. What I'm saying there is that if you had purchased an ancient amulet from a car boot sale, and that very amulet had then created a psychic clone of your nephew, and that clone of your nephew had tried to drink your blood as you babysat him, then the very first thing you would do would be to scratch out any future car boot sales from your diary. Why murder the creature and then come back to the very place that its reign of terror began? The old lady said this with such confidence, such precision, that the young woman could only presume she had watched this exact situation play out countless times before, until the horrifying and the paranormal had become routine. It was levitating in the living room. It was burying the silverware in the garden. It bit my dog. And you bashed it with the vase, I know. How do you know? I've read enough short story collections, the old lady said. Whenever there's a nice normal event like a car boot sale, the writer feels compelled to make it as weird as they can imagine, perhaps because they have a tremendously boring life. And when as weird as a writer can imagine is usually not very weird at all, and then all their friends sit around in a circle and applaud them. Sometimes they drink wine, sometimes they talk about how lonely they are. It doesn't make sense, the young woman yelped. The people in the other cars turned to look at her now, but after a moment's silence they lost interest and got back to their sales pitches, because I couldn't be bothered describing them. It makes perfect sense, the little old lady said, looking at the sticking out leg of the dead demon clone child amulet goblin thing. I started writing short stories about car boot sales some years ago, and one day I came across a little scene in a bottle. I looked closer and realised that I was inside the little scene, and I dropped the bottle in shock, and the witch came out and put me in this story, the old lady explained. And how can you get out? Will I die? The young woman asked. She looked back at the leg of the demon child. I have no idea, the old lady admitted. I was only distracting you with this story so the undercover police officer could jump in slow motion over your car and arrest you. What the fuck is going on in this story? The young woman asked. It really wants to win a prize, the fish said. There was also a fish now for some reason, and it talked and held outdated views on marriage, so most people wished the fish couldn't talk. Isn't that funny? Wouldn't you like to give me a prize? Please give me a prize. I spent at least 5 minutes writing this story. Please. The end. So I'm quite fond of that one. That's, I have quite a depressing opinion on, like, modern short stories, especially English ones, like British ones that I've read, because they try so hard to be weird. And I feel like that's cultural appropriation, because I'm weird. And people who aren't weird, they go, oh my God, I'm so weird and quirky. I don't know why the English people, the British people, have a terrible American accents in that analogy. I've never actually known an American to do that, so I don't know where that came from. But yeah, it's like, there's a lot of, in the world, you know, when you grow up, if you're weird, people bully you for being weird. But then when they grow up, they want to be weird because they realize on some level that they're a fucking cardboard cutout and they don't have a soul, and it crushes them from the inside. And they go, oh, I wish I was weird. And then they try and be weird. So they'll get into writing short stories and they'll go, all right, so it's a young couple in a coffee shop, but one of them's on fire. And then, like, somebody like the Guardian newspaper will go, oh, this is a brilliant, stunning story. It's so stunning and brave and brave and stunning and resplendent and stunning and brave. Anyway, that's the point of that story. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, well, it's probably served its purpose, to be honest. That's going to be my new short story collection, Hologram Kebab. But I can promise you, that one was bad on purpose. The rest are going to be good, I hope, and also on purpose. I've been the Paisley Print author. You've been the 8 people that now listen to my podcast, which is more than 7, so I'm really pleased. It was 7 last week, so thank you for joining. I mean that genuinely. I just sound sarcastic. It's a disease. I've got resting bitch voice. Anyway, I've been the Paisley Print author. You've been who you are. Thanks for joining. I'll see you next Friday.